With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Canadians are there to take the gold medal.
And Canada are the Olympic champions.
The heartbreak is over from Beijing. Canada gold.
Donovan Bailey, Running Things, episode 5, coming at you live from inside our Toronto Mike studios. Donovan Bailey, the legendary one, alongside Jason Portwando. The Olympics. It seems like it went by so quickly. And Canada, yes, pretty good effort, all things considered, with those 26 medals. Fourth overall in terms of the standings, but just 4 gold medals. So kind of a little light in that respect. And DB, another week, my man. Good to see you.
Great to see you, JP.
I know you're a Summer Olympics guy, but...
I'm an Olympics guy. Okay. There's Olympics, and then there's the Winter Olympics, yes.
Two distinctly different things. So you don't do the ice thing very well unless it's in the bottom of your glass, right, with a nice drink.
Absolutely. Well, I got to tell you, I'm a huge fan of the Winter Games because when I look at something like bobsled, speed skating, mm-hmm. Downhill skiing, you kind of see the physical attributes and skill. Actual skill of these athletes, and I know that every single athlete in the Winter Games, they work just as hard as the kids in the Summer Games. But I certainly have an appreciation for those power events that you see. I mean, the favorites got to be anything that has to do with speed. So I definitely like the bobsled, and also there's a lot of athletes that transition from the track to the bobsled and sprinters that do that, and also speed skating. You kind of see very easily how a sprinter could convert from the dry track right on the ice.
So if you had one sport to compete in at the Winter Games, bobsled?
Myself?
Yeah.
No, I'd probably be a speed skater. I'd probably be a sprinter, so the 500 meters.
Okay.
That's what I would see myself doing because, just based upon my own sport, 500 meters on ice on skates would probably be whatever the sprinting event is. Bobsled is also quite easy because I shouldn't say quite easy. I mean, I did try it; it just was too cold for me.
Canada could have used you, by the way. 4 gold, 8 silver, 14 bronze. Overall, it looks good, but 4 gold. I mean, geez. I mean, Lillehammer, we had 3, and that was the last time we had that little. Right. That was back in 1994 in terms of gold medals. But, overall, got to shout out Norway, basically leading from tip to tail.
Right.
The Russian Olympic Committee, second overall to Norway when it comes to medals. So a lot of highlights, but we're going to go there next because one of the more interesting developments obviously surrounded the 15-year-old figure skater, right, Kamila Valieva. And, it was a roller coaster of emotions for that poor young figure skater. The highs of winning Olympic gold, being the first woman in terms of figure skating.
Yeah,
I guess you can say that, right, to hit a quad salchow. And hit a quad toe. She even, threw in a triple toe loop, triple axle, just for fun. But, man, she went through so much, not so much physically, because we realize that, but mentally as well.
Well, Jason, one of the things, so let me, so let me just address the Canadian performance. Number one, I think that and I'll get to Camille in a second. Number one, I think that the team itself were prepared to do some real good things, and I think that I want to congratulate the Canadian team for doing quite well under the circumstances. You are going into this is an extreme bubble with no fans. So you know what? Shout out to the Canadian team for doing as good as they did. You know, under the circumstances. I mean, there was too many things going on politically, and on the political side. But let's try and dress. You know, Camilla. I mean, in our last show, I said to you that I thought that this kid, this little girl, was obviously a victim of all this stuff, and she is. There's no reason for her, my opinion, as an Olympic champion. There's no reason when the rules are set by the IOC, there's no reason for that child to be competing. That's number one. Number two, I think that in the team event where Russia won, it took away the opportunity and the celebration of not only the Russian team, so the girls that were actually or the young ladies that were actually part of that team, but it took away another team that probably should have been celebrating a medal win because they should have not been competing. Now, on the individual side, and I think I said this to you, Jason, on the individual side, I think it's crazy to continue the cycle of abuse for this young child because I think that whatever she went through, one, being a favorite going into the finals of the individual, she should have won that hands down. We know that she probably is the most talented, figure skater on the ice. But the trauma, the dysfunctionality, the things that she's had to go through mentally, it's crazy. And I think that her competing and falling did way more damage than them just saying, you know what, the rules are the rules. Maybe we need to take you home. There's some mistakes made. Get rid of all the people around her who are feeding her this thing. Because like I said, at 15 years old, you can't really blame her for a whole lot
of
things.
She's a kid. High school, grade 10.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You cannot blame her, but because there are people around her that are doing this. I mean, there has to be someone feeding her this. So unfortunately for her, I think that it would have done her a better good then to bring her. Just leave the games. Just leave the games and get ready for the next one. That's really what, you know, my thoughts are on that.
Camilla, the person, is more important than Camilla, the athlete. And we did not see that camp.
We saw that. Like, we're seeing that with Naomi Osaka and Simone Biles, and we're looking at how important mental health is for people in the public eye, and also when you have young people, at the highest level, living their life under a bubble or inside of a bubble or inside of, an aquarium, inside of a glass box, whatever it is, where every single eye on the planet's looking at you. Yeah, she was done no good for her brand, for her own personal mental health and capabilities by them allowing her to compete. Yeah.
Sad. Let's just say that. I mean, you have the amazing athlete. She's 15, becoming the first lady, as talked about, to land a quad at the Olympics. She did the Salchow. She did, another quad, a toe loop, and the triple axel. I mean, she's got a ton of talent, but my goodness, the pressure on that poor young girl for that nation to produce. And so many highlights and, of course, the lowlights as well from Beijing. Hey, now, 2026, we're off to Milan.
I would
go for the Milano Games.
You want to go? Well, you got to go to Paris first, man. 2024 is the Summer Games, is the big games. That's where 15,000 athletes compete, and in the Winter Games you have 3,000. I'm just saying.
Donovan Bailey running things, Paris.
Run things.
Donovan Bailey running things.
Live. I think that'd be awesome. Let's do it. Brought to you by
Acast. Acast, you got that?
Yep.
Road trip.
Yeah, we will. Yeah, we'll do it live from Paris. I think that would work.
All right. All right. Sounds good. Well, you know, kind of hand in hand with the situation at the Olympics was what the NCAA has decided to do. And we touched on this last week.
Right.
Just kind of scratching the surface, mm-hmm. getting you somewhat intrigued. A brand new policy for transgender athletes. But man, oh man, does it ever lack clarity? And,
right.
and it's hard to digest and enforce. Both sides seem a little bit confused. I mean, the bottom line is this. We all know that something needed to be done.
Right.
And at least they're doing something.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know what... I think the onus really is going to fall on the governing bodies of every single sport. I mean, the governing bodies of the NCAA, you've got a tough... You've got a tough decision that you got to make. The IAAF, the IOC, Swimming Federation, you know, Soccer Federation. I think that it's really tough right now. And personally, I think we all want to see a level playing field for every single person out there. And certainly, I think that the governing body really has to see where they're going to divide the line, where they're going to draw the line. How are they going to do it? Is it going to be done? Is the line going to be drawn, you know, from biology? Like, where is it going to be drawn from? So, Jason, one of the things when I look at and hear about these things, I continue to learn and I continue to read and evolve and listen to people like, you know, well, Bruce Jenner, who was one of the the number one athlete in the world at
elite,
one point.
Elite.
The number one athlete, and who is now Caitlyn Jenner. So, I mean, someone like that who has lived experience, you know, and these are the people that are going to teach me how it is that we're going to, you know, transition on, the, you know, to accepting whatever rules these governing bodies do going forward.
NCAA, as talked about, was feeling the heat. Most recently, Leah Thomas comes to mind.
Right.
University of Pennsylvania swimmer, transgender swimmer, multiple records, you know, set at a meet just last month. So, transgender athlete competing on the women's swim team, and the NCAA just felt like it had to do something. So, it's going to align with the policy changes from the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee.
Right.
And the International Olympic Committee. So, I mean, we have to move with the times, and I'm glad they're doing exactly that.
You know, absolutely, and we also have to address we have to address everything. I mean, you know, physicalities, advantages, whatever it is, we have to address everything. And Jason, the greatest thing to do us as I mean, for me, you know, as a former athlete, and certainly for you as a you know a media star. I mean, at the end of the day, we definitely have to sit and continue to evolve.
That's exactly it. Exactly it. And the NCAA Board of Governors voted in support of a sport-by-sport approach to transgender athletes.
Smart.
And that
smart.
Participation. Yeah. Quote-unquote, that preserves opportunity for transgender student athletes while balancing fairness, inclusion, and safety for all who compete.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
In a nutshell.
Amen.
That's it. So, speaking of NC2A, wow. Sports, we realize, you know, things get heated, not just during competition, but afterwards as well. Let's just revisit what happened during a Big Ten basketball game at the end when the coaches decided to shake hands.
Yo! And Jawan Howard just threw a right hand. And now we got a scrum. We have a scrum in Madison. Players are pushing and shoving. This is an ugly scene.
Big Ten basketball, Big Ten football, rivalries. That's what sports is all about. But there was no room for this. I mean, so to give you the backstory, Michigan men's basketball coach Jawan Howard, part of the Fab Five back in the day, end of the contest, you know, didn't agree with what Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard was doing in terms of, you know, calling a late timeout. You know, the game was out of hand. Jawan thought it was just kind of like rubbing salt in the wounds, pushing your face in it. And, of course, they got the shake, you know, got the lineup, got to shake hands. Things got a little bit touchy. Jawan said, don't touch me. Greg said, let me explain. And Jawan said, no. And then it wasn't between those two. It was actually Jawan Howard hitting Wisconsin assistant coach Joe Krabenhoff. And as a result, Jawan Howard fined $40,000 and suspended for the rest of the regular season, which amounts to 5 games. Your take on the incident, and do we need these, you know, lineups to shake hands at the end, or is that just something we need to just move on from?
So a couple of things. I mean, I don't know if you're going to like my take on this.
I'll let you know. Don't you worry.
I know that.
Okay.
I know that. Listen, do you need handshakes at the end of the game? Yes, I think it's very sportsmanlike for you to kind of greet.
Okay.
I mean, because sports is supposed to be, you know, almost like controlled war. I'm my athlete's brain is talking right now. It really is a place where you can go and you can, you know, unload every single emotion and physicality within you within the context of a game. And at the end of it, whoever wins, wins, and you to kind of reset the clock and come back and do it again. I actually saw the game. I was watching the game.
Okay.
And so I'm gonna heat on the side of first of all, let me qualify this.
Okay.
At no point whatsoever should you be putting hands on the other coach.
Right.
Okay, let me qualify that. At no point. But we are also watching events where emotions are heavy.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Right.
Go ahead.
And also, you're talking about Joan is not exactly a coach. He's a basketball player who was not only one of the best NCAA players, but also one of the best NBA players. So his his temperament and competitiveness is at a professional level, right? So although we all live in this glass box, I understood where he was coming from, because I think that as a coach, I'm very certain, you know, I didn't talk to the guy, so I don't know exactly what's going through his brain, but I'm very certain that he was thinking as a coach, okay, the game is done now. I'm 15 down, I think.
Right.
Let the thing ride out. It's a couple of seconds, whatever. So let me, you know, regroup, get my kids back in the locker room, give them a motivation speech, go over some tape, and get back to the next game. And I think that sometimes coaches trying to coach don't really understand that if you're coaching against an athlete or former Hall of Famer or whatever it is, that man or woman thinks way different than you possibly do. I'm very certain that John was probably thinking management, but he's also a competitor. I mean, he's also someone that, and I think that I said to Jason's classic line when I was like 3 or 4 years old, 5 years old in Jamaica, on the playground, when we played touch my button. And touch my button is, you touch my button and I'll knock your block off. And that's really, there's no laughing matter about two coaches fighting, but I'm saying to you that you cannot ignore who you're coaching against, the competitive nature of sport. I saw the statement.
You're not condoning what he did.
No. That's what I qualified it. Very first thing that I want to say is there's no reason whatsoever for a man to put his hand on another man.
Right. He might have been antagonized. I get it.
He was antagonized. And I'm saying to you, Jason, I understand that, for me, sometimes I've had one or two occasions where the camera was on there when I was not happy with what transpired, and unfortunately that raw emotion comes out, and so I'm saying to you that I'm definitely not supporting a man putting his hand on another man unless it's in the boxing ring or the UFC, but I understand that there's emotion, and I understand where Mr. Howard was coming from.
I understand his reason for being upset.
Right.
You cannot put your hand on another man. Unless, you guys are agreeing to hug, shake, whatever.
Correct.
That's fine.
Correct.
Here's the thing. You don't like the way the opposing coach was coaching.
Right.
Don't be bitter. Be better. Here's my thing. Right. We have watched for years Bill Belichick, his philosophy. He'll run up the score on you all the time. He doesn't care.
Right.
You can't go and punch him for that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You can't. So for Juwan Howard, he's totally in the wrong. But the reason why I pose the question is because I really feel like athletes, you know, are questioned too quickly after a game. They're putting that mic right in your face.
Right.
The blood is still boiling.
Right.
The filter from the brain to the mouth doesn't always work.
There's no filter. First of all, it's not even just a brain to the mouth, Jason. I mean, I'm talking about when you're there and you're addressing someone who is full of testosterone at that time.
Right.
Just get the hell away. Just be like, okay.
So do we need these handshakes? Handshake lineups.
I think that from being a sportsman or a sportswoman, okay. I think it's always. I don't know. I think that I think that it's fine. I think that it's fine. I think it's gentlemanlier, you know, to shake hands after battle is done.
I get it. It's at the collegiate level. We don't see this at the pro level. It's arbitrary at the pro level. You can just, we watch NBA head coaches give, you know, the wave and whatever else.
Right.
Football players get together afterwards, say a prayer. You know what? There is no right or wrong. I don't know which side of the fence I side on in terms of this.
Right.
Because one minute I'm saying, yes, you know what? You got to learn sportsmanship of the game. You're a kid. You want to get to that elite level. You've got to learn how to lose before you can win.
Right.
But then another part of me is like, is it really necessary? These guys just finished beating each other up, and now you I don't know what the answer is.
So you're playing the game, beating you in the game, and then you beat them.
No, I know. But I mean, Juwan's got to be better.
No, Juwan. You know. And again, there's no reason whatsoever for him to put his hands on. And also, I think that in his last statement, I think it's so good for him to state, like his position as an athlete, his position as a man, his position as a role model, his position as a father. And I think all of those things are very important. So, yes, I mean, if you're going to minimize it to one sentence, there's definitely never a reason to put his hands. But for all those reasons I just mentioned, that's even more so.
One thing I do know how I feel about the fact that not up until I don't even know how long, if he ever has. But we're doing this broadcast right now. I have not once heard of an apology.
What's that?
From Juwan.
Oh, yeah. No, he did. He sent a statement out.
Because I did not hear anything.
Yeah,
to me, that bothered me. Because you had lots of time afterwards, instead of saying, well, he put his hands on me, which he did.
Right.
Instead of defending why you did what you did.
Right.
How about you apologize? Because at the end of the day, regardless of what was done, the other coach did not take a swing at him.
That's true, but he did apologize, and that's what I'm saying. He did.
I did not hear that.
I did see and read a statement. So he definitely did that.
So it was a statement. It wasn't actually him in front of the cameras.
Well, it's a statement. I mean, I think that it's probably best that way. I mean, it's like, I think that, you know, again, as a public person, I think sometimes it's best when you can get your thoughts together, put it on paper, and get it out there. I mean, at the end of the day, for me, once his penalties are accepted, he can now move on to do whatever he's got to do, reconsider what he needs to do next season, and be better. I mean, so I think you and I, the end goal for you and I think are the very same, which is be better, do better. Be an incredible man and continue to be a great role model and coach, and don't let it happen again. And I think that his statement was along those lines.
Was the punishment enough for the other coach, Greg Gard just getting a $10,000 fine? Does he deserve anything for perhaps precipitating this, accelerating this?
Did he touch him?
Oh, yeah, he touched Joan Howard.
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, again, in the heat of battle sometimes. I mean, we see this.
Joan, you can see him through his mask saying, don't touch me.
Right. We see, you again, these are all things. I mean, we can address all this. But, yeah, if someone touches someone, I mean, so that probably calls for a different action. But now we're splitting hairs now, Jason. So at the end of the day, I think both of them deserve both of them deserve fines. Both of them deserve suspensions. Both of them need to understand that it's, you know, even, you know, we should be, you know, they should be very, very happy to participate in a sport, to participate in the game, because it's far bigger than both of them or both of us.
Let's just end it like this. Both leaders of men, that was not a good look for guys that are trying to, you know, establish that type of relationship with their players and be an example. A role model, setting the tone, not a good look. So
I agree 100%.
We'll talk more basketball on this edition of Donovan Bailey Running Things, brought to you by Acast and the NBA All-Star Game. Oh,
good things. Good things.
Yeah. Well, let's begin with a good thing.
Right.
Curry, a historic performance and a feed. And James, look at this.
Fast step.
Steph Curry's label reads basketball player, but clearly, brother's also a part-time arborist, because knocking down more trees than I've ever seen before. 16. In fact, the previous NBA All-Star record was 9, set by Paul George, so nearly doubled that. And yes, I know Steph had another 6 shots, I think, at the end to either tie or surpass Anthony Davis's overall record of 52 points, but he'll settle for the 50 and the Kobe Bryant MVP honor. That was the good news. Game itself, weekend itself, I don't know.
Well, one, I think that what Steph keeps redefining what new basketball looks like, and it's incredible that this kid. I mean, you know, if you see Steph, he's not a big, strong, powerful man.
No, not at all.
But what he does, and you see this, and you have to see this to all the kids out there. He's put work in. You know that this guy's shooting, you know, a million threes a day, and you understand also, you know, I always look at athletes and really how their body works, and I think when you think of symmetry and rhythm, you understand. First of all, when he releases it, you know it's in. If you're a basketball fan or player,
right?
You know that anytime someone releases the ball, it's going in. And that guy, he has just redefined what that is, man. Jason, you know, all the weekend, you know, definitely Mr. Curry deserves the MVP off the entire damn weekend, because yeah, he did his thing, man, and he was the entertainment.
You just give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And by the way, you're right about Steph. He hit a bunch of threes after he shot the ball.
Yeah.
He just looked away and started going back up the court. I mean, seriously?
No need to check.
No need to check. But I will say this: it was a phenomenal game. LeBron, lost in all of this,
right,
hits the game-winning shot back in Cleveland. I mean, that was phenomenal to see. So the game itself, thumbs up, thumb down.
I think the like how the new game is played, I didn't like it at the start, but I do understand what they're trying to do and get the community involved with, you know, each team, each planned, organized team playing for a charity and then donating money. You know, like in light of the game itself, I love the fact, as you just mentioned, that LeBron is playing in Cleveland. And that guy has done so much, you know, as, I mean, let's stop with basketball. What LeBron James have done, you know, from a social responsibility perspective has been incredible. So the game itself, I realized, was secondary. And because LeBron really is defining and clearly setting forth a massive footprint to what some incredible future leaders from that area of the country will be in. And so I'll always commend him for doing incredible things. So the game itself, I think, was secondary. How the game is played.
So thumbs up or thumbs down?
I think the game was fine. The game was thumbs up. The game for me was thumbs up. It's the All-Star weekend. I mean, you know, some of the, you know, the three-point shooting, the dunk competition. And I got to tell you this, from a man who has a couple of dunk trophies in my trophy cabinet, I thought it was the worst ever. I mean, I'm telling you, I thought the dunk competition was the worst ever. Whoa. And funny enough, when the game started and Ja Morant and a couple of these guys started like dunking the ball, I'm like, okay, well, I guess the dunk competition was actually within the game. Why was I staying up last night?
You just answered your own question. Thumbs down. I had more fun watching the Peloton guy playing in the celebrity challenge. I had more fun watching him than I had watching the game itself. And you're right. They're running out of ideas for the slam dunk competition. I mean, they've jumped over cars, small buildings, people. It's run its course. I will say thumbs down to that, but thumbs up or thumbs down to the three-point contest when you see a big man win over the smaller guards. Got to give some love to Karl Anthony Towns.
Well, Carl's a shooter.
That's the game now, right? If you're a big man,
there's also
you better be able to shoot.
Well, the other thing now, Jason. I mean, you know, again, if you're a basketball fan, you know this. There's no defined positions anymore. I mean, if you're 5'10", you're shooting guard. If you're 7'5", you're shooting guard. So ultimately, I think that it's incredible to see a big man that can hit it from the outside. And maybe what we need to see then in the dunk competition for all the short guys to get out there and dunk the ball. Maybe we'll get back. Let's get back to when, you know, the game itself and, you know, the game itself was who was defying gravity and doing something incredible at the rim.
Why are you looking at me when you see the short guys?
The short guy, yeah.
I realize my chair is a little higher than yours. I get that.
You can dunk.
I get that.
You can dunk. We'll get you the 8-foot rim. It's all right. We'll get you
that. Yeah, no, that was, wow. Overall, the weekend was a lot of fun. The music, the flash, the flair, I mean, all of that in there. But, yeah, there's a lot that I think, you know, was good. Some of it not so good. And just quickly, I miss the days of basketball where the big man actually played with his back to the basket. We don't see that anymore. We don't see anybody posting up. You know, when you saw Duncan kiss it off the glass, you're like, wow, big man can shoot. A big man doesn't even stand in the paint anymore, it feels like.
Well, I like...
Why do we even have the paint?
Well, that's true. But I mean, I played basketball. When I played basketball at Sheridan College, you know, the idea of a big man posting, you know, and drop step and dunking on another man's head, that's just fantastic. But the game has obviously been, I mean, we speak about Stephon Curry. I mean, the game has been redefined.
Oh, it's a shooting competition now.
And now it's, you know, if you can shoot basically from 16 miles away, that's an incredible thing. Before watching the game, and what brought excitement down was sometimes you change when you're playing a game, and you're changing the rhythm, you know, off the game by someone driving in and dunking on someone. These are things that I loved about the game, and it happens sometimes. It happens sometimes. I mean, there's still a few guys that Westbrook and Ja Morant, like I said, there's a few guys that are top end. There's a few guys that are still playing in the league that feel that is the way that they're going to change the momentum of the game, you know, by driving and dunking on someone. But again, I'm that's just my game. I'm an old school guy.
Oh,
I'm never going to change.
I'm with you.
That's how it is. That's how Magic played. That's how Jordan played.
Oh, I'm telling you what. Miss those days. I mean, I think about Hakeem Olajuwon playing now. No shot. Patrick Ewing playing now. No shot. Those guys. Yeah. Bring back the old school basketball. And yeah, speaking of which, something really cool happened. Something really cool happened between Jordan and Johnson. I would have paid to watch that one-on-one over the NBA All-Star game.
You might have to pay, because guess what?
I don't care. I will.
I think, Jason, I got to tell you, man, I think that, you know, I know that there's, this reminds me of I think that there's some buzzing last year about Lennox Lewis fighting Mike Tyson again. And I'd have paid for that. If that ever happens.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you all this. If Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson
no contest
were going to play one-on-one today, not only will I pay for it, I am going to be at courtside. No, for real. I mean, I think that what I love about the even what happened, and this is so the All-Star Weekend this week is celebrating the top 75 best, I guess, NBA players that are alive, right? And, you know, Michael Jordan, for those of you who didn't see it, Michael came in and it, this is in the greetings. Now, these are all first ballot. These are all first ballot Hall of Famers.
Right.
Michael is greeting Magic. And he said, I'll go get my shoes right now, man. Let's go one-on-one. The mindset of an athlete never changes, my brother. Never, ever changes. The physicality changes, but the mind and the brain and the competitiveness of real true stars never changed, and for me, I thought that was probably the highlight, one of the probably the highlight of the weekend for me personally.
100%.
Yeah,
100%. That's my type of Magic Mike. Forget about that other one. This is the only Magic Mike that I want to see.
And, I don't know where you're going with that, man. Wow.
And I will say this: Jordan said to Johnson, "Go put your kicks on. Let's go.
Yeah,
go find them. Let's go. Let's settle this right now."
And the good thing about both of those guys, like, you have to think about this. Both of those guys, had they had kicks, they'd throw down right away. It wasn't, let's go outside. It's like, no, we're good. Right here in the middle of everything. You know, so again, amazing. So that's for me the highlight, highlight of the weekend. And as a sports fan, I think that it was just great to see the old guys get together. And I think it's great that these guys, these old guys, can also show these new guys what real competition is all about. It's not all kumbaya.
The world is not all kumbaya. So as much as we've had a lot of fun on this edition of the program, let's wrap on a serious tip because, again, the ugly head of racism rearing its head in New Jersey. Mall fight, couple of kids going at it, one being black, the other not. The police come in to break up, just to extinguish the situation. And the treatment of the two kids, very, very different, drastically different.
Jason, you know what? Here's the thing, and for those of you who don't know, both Jason and I are fathers. Not only just black men, productive members of society, whether Hall of Famer, Jason's, does his thing. I mean, I'm saying to you that the number one, the greatest title that we both have is fathers. And
exactly.
And when we look at, when we address whether it's systematic racism, institutional racism, any kind of racism, we always have to look at life objectively through our own personal lens based upon our own personal journeys. And, we know that with technology, there's a lot of things being exposed. Now, Jason just mentioned that we're observing a fight. Now, they're teenagers, punk-ass teenagers. I was one of them. Jason was one of them. Every single male, in this world, you've had some sort of little scrapings. That's what you do. That's part of learning who you are, developing your character, So to look at two kids getting into scrap for whatever it is that they did, neither one of them were, there was no weapons, there's nothing involved. I think there was just some pushing and so forth. To looking at, to observing that and seeing how these kids were taken care of or how they were treated is absurd. I want every single person out there to go and either YouTube it or
it's
whatever.
Pretty easy to find.
Yeah. Well, I'm very happy, Jason, that it's gone viral. Now, at the end of the day, you have one child sitting on the sofa observing observing as if. He's having a coffee.
This was the white teen.
The white teen.
Yeah.
And then you have the black kid being pushed to the ground and being kneeled on and kicked. Now, I have a problem with any of this. If you have two kids that are fighting, one, put them both on the couch, right? Or put them both on the floor. Or take them both away. But whatever it is, there has to be some sort of equality that's shown. Because again, the bottom line is it's two kids. It's two kids doing what they do. I've done it. Jason's done it. Everyone's gotten into little tiny scraps, and that's part of growing up in any society. And I think that how I think that both kids were treated is absurd, and that has to be addressed. And for me personally, the officers involved, they need to be suspended, and there has to be some lessons taught, or they have to go and learn something, about how to handle, this situation.
It's disturbing, really disturbing. I mean, you brought it up. I went and I looked it up, and I was like, wow, and. To be honest, I'm tired of talking about stuff like this. I mean, we need to educate. I get it.
Right.
We need to inform. But the fact that it just continues.
I don't know how it is that there's any law enforcement officer. Mm-hmm. First of all, I'm all for funding the police, by the way. I'm all for I don't want a police to ever come to my neighborhood, dealing with someone with mental health and he only knows how to rescue a cat out of the tree. I actually want all police to be to be educated, especially on racial sensitivity especially in racialized community. But it's very, very important for for us all to understand that just the mere observation of seeing two kids fighting, one of them sitting on the couch and the other one getting kneeled on the ground or getting, getting thrown to the ground.
No weapons involved.
It's the continuation of what systematic racism looked like. And for those people who are not racialized, that's what it looks like. That's exactly what it looks like. You see two kids fighting, you break them up, you put them both in a corner, you discipline both of them. The end. Right. And I think that's, ultimately, Jason, as fathers, let's just address as fathers. What we want is to make sure that all kids, every kid out there, has a equal opportunity to go to school, find themselves, play sports, maybe get into a little scrap, do whatever, scrape your knees, fall down, whatever it is, but also don't get killed for it. Also, don't get in a place where, you might be in a position a little fight breaks out and one child gets killed just because that child is just standing there or happens to be part of something, for no actual reason. So, that being said, I think that I hope that the police officers involved is on administrative leave. And they have to get some, racial sensitivity training as to how to deal with people. And I'm saying to you, just go and arrest kids. If they're doing something stupid, put them both in handcuffs and arrest them and give them a warning and do whatever they got to do. But you know what? You can't treat one different than the other.
Level playing field. That's all we can ask for. Not just on the sports field, but life in general. We're all trying to get to that same goal, not just to survive, but a chance to thrive.
Amen.
Episode 5, Donovan Bailey Running Things, produced by Toronto Mike, powered by Acast DB. Appreciate you, as always. And until next time, thanks for the company.
Until we'll do it again next soon. Time. Until next time. See you all next week. Peace out.